Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. In verse 29, the Word of God says, "Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, this is something that can be very counterintuitive to us. And I think there are times when all of us have experienced a little bit of trepidation in our lives in the face of these types of things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? How are things going to work out? And God says, don't be afraid. God knows you need these things. And then He follows it with this. Sell all you have. And we think to ourselves, okay, that's how I'm going to buy dinner. I got to sell all I have. And give it away. And then we're thinking to ourselves, how in the world am I going to survive? Well, I'm not saying that you should go out and sell everything you have and give it away. What I am saying is the principle here. Even if you were to sell all you have and give it away, God would still provide. Even if you had nothing and the little bit you had, you simply gave away, God says, don't be afraid. God's going to take care of you. God will take care of these things. Now, that can be a challenge. It can be tricky to see how that's going to happen. We look at our situation and we say the situation is dire. We look at our finances and we see the bank account is $5 left inside the account, just enough to keep it open. And we say, God, how's this going to work? I don't have it. Or maybe we have a condition with our health. And we say, God, this situation doesn't look good. Maybe I have no good options. Or maybe I have an illness that is scaring me. And God says, don't be afraid. God will provide for your health. God will provide for your needs. Let's say you need surgery. And you can't work for 2 or 3 months. And this is very scary because who's going to make the money for 2 or 3 months? And maybe you don't have a big savings. And God says, don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. God is amazingly good at taking care of us. Now, we understand that He takes care of us spiritually, but do we understand that He takes care of us tangibly, practically? Details of life, cars and cash and houses, food, hamburgers. Do we understand that God is just as equally concerned with these things as He is the things of the Spirit of God? Because in truth, when it comes to us, there is no difference whether it's the Spirit of God inside of us and how He's working and whether we have a hamburger for lunch. There's no real difference to God. It's still us. So no matter what it is, God is saying, don't be afraid. I'll take care of it. God, I have this health problem, and this is a dangerous health problem. God says, don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. But God, this is so scary in the situation. I've never dealt with this before. Don't be afraid. I know how to handle it. What scares us is that we look at our ability. Well, that would scare anybody. But it's not our ability that gets things done. You see, we don't actually do nearly as much as we think we do in taking care of ourselves. Yes, we go to work. Yeah, we're responsible. Yes, that's true. All those things are important. But we don't do nearly as much as we think we do. How often can it happen that you can pray in a job that pays exactly what you need it to pay? You know you can. Seen it happen. You can pray in a job that'll pay you what you need it to pay. You can pray results with other people. You can pray people into your life. You can pray people out of your life. I've done that before. How many times we've had like bad bosses and my wife and I are talking, what are we going to do about them? And we say, hey, let's pray them out. And you know, it works. I remember this one boss I had. Talking to you, he wasn't a bad guy, but in his lifestyle, he was extremely immoral. And I remember saying to God, God, this is out of order that a believer should fall under the authority of somebody with a highly immoral lifestyle. So I started praying that God would remove him. 1 week is how long it took. He didn't hurt the guy. He just gave him a different job. But he took care of me in it. You see, whatever it is, God is going to take care of it. And it may even seem like, why would God take care of it? And he will take care of it. He'll take care of it because he cares. We say to ourselves, how will God take care of it? And that's a little bit of a trickier question for us because sometimes we can't figure it out. Well, the Word of God says in John 3:8, the wind blows where it wishes. You ever notice that? You can't make the wind blow a certain way? Much technology as we have, the wind's still going to blow whichever way it wants to blow. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The peculiar thing with us, and this is the part I think that can be scary to us at times, is that our lives are entirely controlled by the Holy Spirit because we are born-again believers. We don't always get what He's doing. And so we look at our situation and we say, this is good or this is bad or I'm confused or what have you. One of the things that amazes me is how often I have clarity that turned out not to be so clear. I thought I was going to predict how God's going to do it. I know He's going to do it like this. And boy, I had no idea. And we look at these things, we think about these things, and we don't get it. And the reason why we don't get it is because we are not the Holy Spirit. But we try to understand what we cannot understand. Never try to figure out your own life. I'm going to say that again because people aren't going to get this. Never try to figure out your own life. It can't be done. If you are a born-again believer, then your life is like the wind. The Holy Spirit is going to take you into ways, into things, into situations, put you with people, what have you, and you won't be able to figure it out. And you won't even be able to control it. You're not going to be able to control it any more than you can control the wind. It's going to go where it wants. It's going to take you where He wants. And you're not going to have any option but to go. Because it's the Holy Spirit who's taking you there. Remember something. Number one, your life is not your own. Number two, it's possessed by God. And number three, God lives inside of you. God is going to take you where He wants to take you because He owns you, He lives in you, and He's going to make His decisions. It's like this. Wherever I go, and with most people this is true, wherever I go, my clothes come with me. I went into the store the other day, and you know what? My clothes were still on my back. And then I left the store, and my clothes were still there. And then I was driving along, and you know what? I had all my clothes on. And I got out of the car, and they were still on me. And a few weeks ago, I drove for quite a distance, and man, my clothes went right along with me. I never actually thought of asking my clothes if they wanted to go. I just kind of assumed they would go with me whether they wanted to or not. Didn't really much care if they wanted to go, because they're my clothes. Well, God lives inside of you. I didn't explain to my clothes, listen, we're taking a trip today. You're going to have to stay in place, try to keep up. Nope, just knew they would. That's how we are with God. God lives inside of you. You're going where He's going. It's not a question of will He take you. That's not even a thought in God's mind. Will He take you? You're just going. And because it's God who's making those decisions, you're not always going to understand where you're going or why you're doing the things you're doing. You're going to know that it's God, but you won't always know why it's happening. Well, Isaiah 46:10, the Word of God says that He declares the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. That means He knows at the very beginning what the end is. And this, of course, brings us into the concept of creation relativity. That all of time is before God. The very first day and the very last and every day in between is before God. And to Him to see the first day and the last day is no more difficult than for me to look at the left side of the table or the right side of the table. It's all right in front of Him. And every point of time is right in front of Him. In its fullness, complete. And He knows every detail of every moment because He can see it right in front of Him. And this for us is great comfort. Because it is the Holy Spirit who's doing it. We don't have to know. It's already done. Yes, we make our decisions, but it's really God who orders our steps. You ever make a decision to take a left, but there was no way to take a left? I was driving down the road the other day. I wanted to take a left and came up to a little break in the median there and said, no left turn. Couldn't take a left. Didn't really occur to me to try to cross over the medium. But you know, that's like that with God sometimes. This is how He orders your steps. In some situations where He doesn't specifically say, go here, go there, He can do that, but doesn't always do that. He just makes sure that certain doors are open and other doors are closed. And He's ordering your steps. You don't have to be afraid. God is ordering your steps. As long as God is ordering your steps, you're doing fine. In Jeremiah 29, the Word of God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, when you will search for me with all of your heart. I know the thoughts. Now, we kind of think this is an obvious statement, perhaps. This seems obvious because I know my thoughts. And so God would know His thoughts, right? But that's not what it means. The word know there is the word yada. And it's a knowledge that is gained by the senses. So God says, I know because I see. I see the thoughts that I have toward you. And we're thinking to ourselves, well, how do you see thoughts, God? And the word thoughts there is makashaba, and it means the thoughts and intentions that spring from a plan and a purpose. I see the thoughts and intentions that spring from my plan and my purpose that I think, and that word is kashab, to weave, to fabricate, to plan, devise, and think. I see the thoughts and intentions because I see what I am weaving. I see what I am fabricating, what I'm creating. I can see it, God says. The fact that God is thinking it means that God is also creating it. This is why God spoke and it happened. How is it that God spoke when there was no one to hear? Because the thoughts of God are the words of God. The thoughts of man are the words of man. The thoughts of God are the words of God. And so when God thinks it, he speaks it. When God speaks it, he creates it. This is how the heavens and all of creation was formed. Please understand that the thoughts of God and the activity of God are simply the same thing. And so God says, I see what I am doing. I see what I am making. I see what I am weaving. And because I see what I am weaving, he expresses it as, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. I see what I am making in your life. And then he continues, thoughts of peace. And the word peace is shalom, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, and friendship. Now, this is not an attitude that he's creating. This is a creation that he's forming. We're not dealing with thoughts and ideas the way we think of thoughts and ideas. We're dealing with things that are being made. It's almost like a woodworker making something out of wood. A cabinet maker is making some sort of a wardrobe or a cabinet of some kind. And he says, I see what I'm doing, and the characteristics of what I'm doing are completeness and soundness. In other words, I'm building it right. I'm making it fully complete. I'm making it perfectly functional. I'm making it flawless. And this is what I see. And the cabinet maker looks at it, and he examines his work, and he looks at the wood, and he looks at the joints and the places where he does things on it, and he sees and he inspects it. And he sees that it's right, that it's done well, that it's of good quality. God is saying the same thing about us. He says, I see this, that the way that I'm making your life, the way that I'm designing your plan within time, that plan is being carried out. You don't see it because you are walking moment by moment. But God says, I don't deal with moments. I deal with all of time simultaneously. And even though you experience it moment by moment, the fact of the matter is that it's all there, present, right now, all at the same time. So I see what I've created from the beginning to the end. I see all of it in your life. And he said, and it is sound and complete. And it's for your benefit. It is not something that is going to hurt you. It is something that is completely for your benefit. This is why in Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good, because God already sees all things. God already has created the tapestry. The order is already in place. The events are already present. Everything is taking place. You are experiencing it moment by moment, but God sees the whole thing completed because it is, and it is working beautifully. You don't have to be afraid. It's already in place. Fear not, little flock. The Father knows you need this. The Father knows that that part was necessary. The Father knows that it's already there. The Father knows how you're going to get to it. The Father already knows all these things because they're already there. Don't be afraid. God, I have a problem. Don't worry. The solution is already in the tapestry. God, I need money. Don't worry, the solution is already in the tapestry. God, I have health issues. Don't worry, the solution is already in the tapestry. God, these relationships, don't worry, the solution is already in the tapestry. You don't have to worry about those things. You don't have to be afraid. It's already there. It is perfectly placed. It works beautifully. I already see it, God says. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Evil is ra. It means malignant, distress, misery, injury, calamity, and bringing to nothing. God did not work into the tapestry, into the creation of your life, that which was a calamity. Things may seem like calamities to us. We look at them by sight and maybe they're emotionally challenging. But really, they're not calamities. They're stepping stones. They're not calamities, they're doors. They're not calamities, they're provisions. They're not calamities, they're changes of direction. I find it interesting. I don't know how many people have ever tried weaving. My first degree was in art, so I've tried a little bit. You weave, and then you got to change direction. And then you weave some more, and then you change direction. The shuttle goes one way and then the other, and it doesn't seem to always seem to go to the end. You got to kind of move it over here a little bit sometimes. And it changes direction a lot. So there's your calamity. But I didn't get to the end of the thing. That's okay. I didn't want it at the end. You see, this is how you make tapestry. Calamity doesn't exist with God. It seems like calamity because we have such limited understanding. But calamity doesn't exist with God. There is nothing malignant in the plan of God. It's for peace. It's for completeness, for soundness, not for anything malignant, not for anything that brings us to nothing, not for our misery or our injury. We are God's workmanship. That means He's building us. He's not destroying us. Don't be afraid. What seems like calamity to you is simply God working. It's not calamity. Even if you cannot understand it, it's not calamity. My friend Tony died of cancer years ago. And you could say, well, that was calamity, wasn't it, God? The man got cancer and then he died. Wasn't that calamity? God says, I gave him the opportunity for eternal rewards and he took me up on it. I guarantee you right now he has not one regret in heaven. But what about his family, God? They get eternal rewards also, and in heaven they will have not one regret. They will not be sad about the suffering. They will not be sad about the distress. They will not be sad about the apparent calamity. They will not be sad about the pain. They will not be sad about the fact that he was sick. But God, isn't that calamity? No. It's promotion. Never think that this life is the end all. It's not. It's just the beginning. If you think that this life is the end all, then things will appear like calamity. But it's not. It's just the beginning. And then he says, to give you an expected end. The word end is, as we think, end, the coming after in time, posterity, future. But the interesting word there is expected. It's the word tikva. And is literally speaking of a cord as an attachment. And then it also means hope. He's saying like this, I'm making a tapestry. And you're the cord that I'm making it with. And you are necessarily that cord because it is your life and time. And that is what life and time is. It's a cord in the tapestry. Because you are a cord, you have hope. And hope is not like a wishful thought. Hope is a confident expectation. The reason why you can have this confident expectation is it's not you who's making the tapestry. It's not you who's doing the weaving. It is God who's creating using you. And so he's creating a life out of you. You're that cord. So he's saying, I bring you into a life that was perfectly designed and planned, that was highly purposeful, and that met all of what I expected, because you are the cord that I used to make it. We get in trouble when we think it's our expectation. But that's not what it means. It's not an expectation of this anticipation of an outcome per se. It is God's anticipation of an outcome that is already created, that He can already see, and He's made it out of you. The Word of God says that He makes all things beautiful in their time. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, He makes all things beautiful in their time. Where is it? It's in time. What is He making them out of? You. How are they resulting? They are beautiful. Whatever it is in your life, you will look back on it. When you get to heaven, you will see the tapestry. You will look back on it and say, wow, my God, that is so beautiful. What is that? He says, that's your life. We don't see it now because all we see is these little threads we're going through. But He's making something beautiful in time. Out of time, using you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the fact that you are facing challenges. Don't be afraid of the fact that something may be going wrong in your estimation. Don't be afraid of the fact that you have to deal with things that are not pleasant to you. Don't let any of those things scare you. And whatever you do, don't start to feel sorry for yourself in the midst of them. You know what that does? It tries to unravel the tapestry. You can't do it, but that's what you're trying to do. Don't do that. Don't be afraid. Just know that God is making something out of you. And that situation is no accident. That person is not a problem. That person is a provision with which God is making you. That person is like in God's toolbox. And He's brought that tool out to make that part of your life work beautifully. Well, what is it that you're trying to create with this person in me, God? I mean, this person is challenging to me, my character. I'm using that person to produce an expression of my character in this part of your life. Why is that situation so hard? My character. I'm using that situation so that my character can be expressed in this part of your life. It's not negative. Don't be afraid. But it's difficult, Lord. It's only difficult because of the way you're looking at it. You're not looking at it through my eyes. You're looking at it through your own eyes. Don't look at it through your eyes. Look at it through my eyes, He says. The Word of God says in the B part of Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has put eternity in their hearts without which no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. If I look at things in a temporal fashion, if I look at things by sight, if I try to evaluate people by their appearances, if I try to estimate people by their lives, if I try to look at people's behaviors or problems or hang-ups or the things that I perceive about them with my own extraordinarily limited sight, then I'm not going to see the beginning from the end. I'm not going to see the purpose. God says, look at it in my eyes, and then you will see that that situation is a beautiful part of a tapestry. That person is a provision for the character of God. That condition is something whereby the promises of God will become real to you. Those are the reality of things in eternity. And eternity is where the truth lies. And so we look at things from God's perspective, and all of a sudden that which was difficult becomes that which is valued. All of a sudden, that which challenged me becomes that which comforts me. Because all things are made beautiful in their time. But I can only see that from an eternal perspective. And then he continues in verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now here's the thing about that passage. This is God speaking to Israel. What it will be like after their chastening. Even the chastening of God is a beautiful thing. In Revelation 3:19, the Word of God says that He chastens the ones He loves. The chastening of God, in truth, is a beautiful thing. The amazing thing about chastening, I heard Pastor Stevens bring this up not too long ago on a recording. When God chastens, He takes you farther than you would have gone if He hadn't chastened. You actually end up in a far better place than before you were chastened. And God is like that. Even the chastening becomes beautiful in its time. This is the expectation. This is the expected end. That all things become beautiful in their time. What is your issue? It'll become beautiful. Don't look at the threads. Just know that it will become beautiful. And don't say it's just me. You are the very thing God is making time out of. You are the thread of the tapestry, you could say. And it will be beautiful in its time. And there is a way, of course, for us to experience this, because if we can't experience these things, what good are they to us? Oh, the Word of God says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your frame of reference, with all your heart, frame of reference. If you trust God in your frame of reference, then you will look for God in all your situations. And if you look for God in those situations, you will find Him. You will seek me and find me, He says there. Look for God in everything. Look for His hand. If you look for His hand, you'll be amazed how abundantly you find the presence of God. It's always there. Because He's the one who's creating all these things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't look at it by sight. You don't have sight to look at it with. Don't try to evaluate in the natural mind. God's ways are higher than your ways, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts in Isaiah 55. You can't possibly begin to predict or understand the thoughts of God. Just trust Him. Trust what He says about it. Don't worry about what it seems like. Don't worry about whether it's particularly pleasant or unpleasant. Just know that what He's doing is right. If He wasn't doing it, it wouldn't be happening. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. This is how you start to experience what God is doing. You start to acknowledge Him. It's not that He wouldn't direct your path. The steps of the just man are ordered by the Lord. So we don't have to worry that He won't order our path. But you won't recognize it unless you acknowledge Him. In other words, it's like this. In all your ways, you're going through your ways. You're going through your life and things happen. And you say, God has brought that for a purpose. Often we can use this verse and say, God, what should I do here? And acknowledge it that way. And that's not an incorrect application, but there's more than one application, even though there's only one interpretation. But really, this is often also as I go through life. Something happens and I acknowledge, and God, we're doing something here. What is it that you are doing? And when you do that, you start to recognize what he's doing. You start to see how he's directing your path. You start to look with an eternal perspective and you get a glimpse of what God is creating. And you start to recognize that it is indeed beautiful in time. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your... Don't think you can figure it out. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's something called the law of contrasts. And when you interpret the Bible, you have to look at the law of contrasts sometimes. And this is one such situation. You have a contrast drawn here. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The enemy would love to hinder what God is creating using you. And the way that he'll do it is he'll get us to be wise in our own eyes. In other words, he'll get us to think that we can figure things out on our own. That we can step outside of doctrine. That we can examine things by sight. That we can get understanding with our natural mind. But God says, don't do that. And he says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So if I am wise in my own eyes, the result will be that I stop fearing the Lord. And the result of not fearing the Lord is that I enter into evil. Evil being Satan's government. But no, when I'm not wise in my own eyes, when I'm always looking for God's plan, God's purpose, I'll fear the Lord. I'll have high regard for the Lord because I can see his hand in everything. And Satan's government won't come in. The Word of God says in Revelation 1:17, fear not. He's constantly telling us, fear not. It's a very heavily repeated phrase in the Bible, fear not. If I remember correctly, it's something like 66 instances of fear not. Somewhere in that ballpark. God says, fear not. I am the first and the last. In other words, fear not. I made the beginning. I made the end. I made everything in between. And I'm making you. Don't be afraid. It's God that's doing it. Don't be afraid. It's for your sake. Don't be afraid. It'll be good. Not only will it be good, it will be a beautiful portion of time that he makes out of you. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, he gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your gift. I accept your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.